There are many reasons for it. We've gone over a lot of the different reasons, but the number one play in the game that I had big issue with was Brian Daboll, fourth and goal from the 3-yard line early on in the third quarter, deciding to kick a field goal. Well, you know you're going to have to score at least a touchdown to beat the Cowboys. He was conservative there. The Giants kicked field goals all night long, couldn't put the ball in the end zone, even with sustained drives, chewing that clock up, shortening the game. It did not work because they settled for field goals all night long. One of the reasons, to me, the main reason why I thought that they missed an opportunity to win that game.
Yeah, we disagree. I think that there's a lot of things to split here. I think specific to what Sal's talking about there is a big difference going in with a plan and going in, hey, the mindset, we're going to be aggressive and, you know, we need to do this. We probably need to get this to this, like, threshold of points, but that's what you think going into the game. And then, you know, as the game unfolds, you either do it even more because it's even more than you thought, or you adjust because it's counter to what you thought. And at that point, you know, 8 minutes to go, third quarter, 23 total points scored, Giants down 14-9, zero running game. So you tell me you want to go for it. Are we going to run the ball there and get 1.2 yards a pop again, which they did all night? Are you going to roll out Daniel Jones? I mean, what are you going to do? They're going to double team neighbors. So I don't even know if there was a good play there. I had no issue taking the three and, you know, try to squeeze this out and win unconventionally. I get the criticism. I understand this. I do want to say one thing, though. Like, to me, again, you talk about the narratives here and the discussions that we have about certain players. Like, We all know the Daniel Jones narrative, okay? Too much money, not the guy, we'll move on eventually. And I'm defending him today because he's not the reason that they lost. That's my opinion. So, but one thing doesn't change. And now I'm going to come with you a little bit here, all right? One thing doesn't change. So I told my son before the start, he's 9, he plays quarterback. I said, here's your job as the quarterback. I asked him the question. I said, what's your job as quarterback? And he gives me, and I appreciated the answers. My job is to lead. My job is to know the playbook. My job is to get the kids lined up in the right spot. Yeah. Okay. What's your real responsibility? Get your team in the end zone. If you get your team in the end zone, you did your job. If you don't get your team in the end zone, you didn't. Now, that's an overly simplistic way of looking at it. I believe if other Giants would have done their job better last night, Jones would have gotten them in the end zone.
And I believe if Jones did his job better, they would have gotten in the end zone as well. The idea that, oh, well, Jones is 22 of 25 or whatever it was at a certain point in the game. Well, hey, Daniel Jones wasn't that bad because he didn't make any mistakes. Yeah, okay, that's great, but let's not lift him up. Like, I don't think anybody ever said, myself included, Daniel Jones is the worst quarterback ever or Daniel Jones can't win any football games. You can't say that because he did win football games a couple years ago, including a road playoff game. How many times do I need to say it? Like, we saw it happen, which means they could do it again. If he did it once then, he could do it again. I just don't think he's very good. I don't think he reads the defense very well. And I've been saying for weeks, if not years, but certainly as it pertains to this year, weeks, he's not accurate throwing the football specifically down the field. As many drops as there were last night, and those are bad and those are unacceptable, he missed throws as well and made bad decisions and misreads, which any one of those, whether it's a more accurate throw down the field or a better read, could have also led to a touchdown. So bottom line is, he's the quarterback of a team that's 1-3 and didn't get in the end zone last night at home yet again.
You know what, too? I mean, listen, the reality is this. When you have no margin for error, and they really don't, just look at the Commanders game, look at this game, it generally comes down to talent. They just need more players.
And whose fault is that?
We talked about Joe Shane earlier.
So that's why it's not just one thing. Now, it doesn't mean, at least from my perspective, blow it up, Shane and Daboll stink, fire everybody. But at some point, and I think year three is that point, instead of just being competitive, you need to actually win. The Giants should not be a 1-3 team right now. They should at least have 2 wins on the board, and at least, and they don't. And that's a problem. This year should be about the win-loss record. And right now, it's not favorable to either.
Yeah, and I really needed to see the Giants compete last night and just show that they narrowed the gap. And the game was competitive. Unlike you, I thought they had a chance to maybe steal it at the end in real time. And it didn't work out for the reasons we hit. But I think what is less satisfying, even though, you know, I said this on the show yesterday, what I wanted to see from the Giants, I basically saw, but I don't really feel good about it, because I think the reason we saw them hang is less about what they did and more about what the Dallas Cowboys have become. Dallas has taken a step back. There's just no way around it.
BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. 888-808-1019. Dante is in East Brunswick. What's up, Dante?
What's up, fellas? Looking at that game last night, I think it's like you guys have been talking about glaring talent levels. And I think if Saquon Barkley's in that game last night, they win that game easily.
Oh, my God, no, no.
The longest run we, look, the longest run we had last night was 5 yards, and it was by Jones.
Yeah.
I mean, you when you're in the red zone, you can't get in the end zone. A lot of it is, like you said, talent. They're going to double-team Neighbors. You have them on the field, and I think letting him walk for $12 million a year, letting McKinney walk and bringing in a guy like Brian Burns for $30 million a year, I get it. He's a good, decent player, but you need a guy like Saquon.
Burns is a different argument, and I think you might be fair there because Burns hasn't had his impact felt yet so far through the first 4 weeks. Say, how was the Giants' offense with Saquon Barkley when he was here?
Yeah, but listen, they upgraded their line. So if
apparently not with the run blocking. And that is
because they don't have that guy. Singletary, he's a decent little guy, but again, he puts the ball on the ground. He doesn't really break it. Saquon Ball, you see what he's doing in Philadelphia.
Yeah, Dante, why is he doing it in Philadelphia though?
Because the line is
So it's
in Philly, when he was with the Giants, he never had. I mean, his first year he had Odell, but having Neighbors on the outside and an offensive line, I think this year would have been the year to keep him, not to...
All right, so, Dante, let me ask you this. Even if... Okay, now, the Saquon stuff is... I mean, I really thought we were past this, but I'll dive in for a second here. If he's on the field last night, you're basically saying that you think they found a way to win that game. We'll never know. I'll even grant you a strong possibility. I don't agree, but to be open-minded, I'll say maybe Dante's right. Giants win the game. Where are the Giants going, even if that's the case? They're going nowhere this year, which means you're still back in the same spot next year with Saquon's salary at age, you know, as he's getting older, making $12, $13 million a year.
$12 million a year, really?
That they will it is. Yes, Dante, thanks for the call. It is when you've got so many glaring deficiencies.
Good God.
Yes. I can't listen.
The Barkley stuff.
It's got to end.
They did not lose that game last night because they didn't have a star running back. That's like, it's not even a running game is not the running back. The running game is the scheme, is the blocking. The line may be improved for the Giants, but they are a better pass-protecting line than they are a run-blocking line. And by the way, not that they're bad. They're just, last night, they couldn't get anything going against Dallas. That has nothing to do with Saquon Barkley. Singletary's a good runner. He's got a lot on the football. He could be an elusive back. It took them, you know, he was going sideways a lot of the time last night, but tough to take down at times. Saquon Barkley would lose 4 or 5 yards if he got it in the backfield the way that Singletary did. So
yep.
Saquon Barkley's having success with Philadelphia because there are gaping holes that the Eagles' offensive line is creating. They're one of the best offensive lines. That's why Barkley looks better. Good God, the Giants have had Barkley for years with the Cowboys, and they've gotten mauled even worse than what they did yesterday.
I can't stand when we recreate what was. When we know what was wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
And it's not Saquon's fault. Saquon's a terrific young man and a hell of a dynamic talent, right? But, I mean, to call up the station and waxing poetically about Saquon and his absence and how it's, you know, damaging the Giants' fortunes this year. He's been here. He wasn't here for a year. I mean, he played a lot of football here. When he was healthy, they didn't win. When he wasn't healthy, they didn't win. I mean, so, yeah, the offense was predictable and stale and boring and moved at a snail's-like pace. And now suddenly, because Saquon's gone, the Giants are a different team. They weren't good when he was here.
Right. Not only did they not win, they couldn't score.
I know.
They couldn't score this great all-time running back. They couldn't score with him. And I'm not trying to pick on Barkley because I do love Saquon Barkley. But it had nothing to do with last night. Oh, if we had Barkley. No way. You're missing the mark by 9 miles. If you ran Daniel Jones more last night, you would have had a better chance to win. That's what I thought. I thought the Giants were going to need to run the football, but specifically with Jones. I said that going into the game, that for them to win, they needed to establish Neighbors to a certain extent, which they did.
Sure.
It wasn't as good as it was the week before, but still, Neighbors made his mark on the game. They needed to complement that with Jones in the running game, which, by the way, is how they had their most success 2 years ago. He was their offense. Jones running the football was the primary offense, not Saquon Barkley. It was Daniel Jones running the football that got them into the playoffs and through a playoff game. Not Saquon, Jones. Where has that been? Why is he not a running quarterback anymore?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he ran a little bit against the Vikings. I remember coming in saying, well, he looked, not that they played well against right. The Vikings, but I wasn't sure how they were going to utilize him. I don't have an answer for you. All I know is the Giants. I didn't think the Giants would be very good coming into the season. They're not very good now. It's not all the coach's fault. You need more players. It's not all Daniel Jones's fault. It's not because Saquon's not here. I mean, there's a multitude of reasons why they're not very good.
I will say, though, you and I have hit a lot of those reasons. And in case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. One reason that had nothing to do with last night is Saquon Barkley.
I didn't think about him once last night.
Oh, my God.
I honestly didn't, Sal.
Yeah, me neither. Mike is calling from New Rochelle. What's up, Mike?
Hanging in there, man.
Hey, we got to let you go there, Mike. I can't deal with that line. John is in Cortland, New York. What's up, John? Sorry, Mike. Give us a call back from a better line. What's up, John?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I hope you're having a good day.
Yes.
Let me start by, first off, giving you two credit for having to put up with fans who want everything, no matter what the sport is.
Well, we are fans that want everything. I mean,
John, can I say this, John? It's a compliment, but it doesn't even need to be said, because the one thing that I'll always say, without fans, we don't have jobs. Like, we're nuts. Fans are nuts, and that's part of the deal, and we love it. So it's all good.
We are fans, so I love it. I mean, some calls make you bang your head against it. That's true, but that's part of the fun. I like that.
And we abuse those callers. We put them straight.
Well, as a fan who one time used to get nuts, who is now in his early 70s and goes back 65 years with the Giants to Y.A. and Frank Gifford and Del Schaffner, I've seen some bad times. But this Giant fan is patient, and I see things getting better. Let's say to begin with, okay, Joe Shane's made some bad draft picks, but remember his first year dealt with having to go by what Dave Gettleman's scouts were giving him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so since he's got rid of those scouts and's got his scouts in, and he's more established, his drafts have gotten better. There's been some misses, but they are getting better. He got an offensive line in there through free agency. And all those three offensive linemen he signed always graded higher in pass blocking than run blocking.
Yep.
So that's number one. Number two, I have faith in Brian Daboll. Let's face it, Brian Daboll, as you both have said, is trying to develop an offensive scheme knowing he's got a very limited quarterback.
And he's done well with
it. The other team.
He's done well with it, John. He's done well with that.
My opinion, he has. So let's give other teams credit. They know that, too.
Yeah, but the problem is, John, we appreciate the call, and thank you so much for the support. When I say he's done well with it, it's relative. Meaning, in 2022, he did very well with what he was given. Last year, riding the ship to a certain extent, I mean, I think that there were some good things to take away from that. But at some point, even the biggest believers in Brian Daboll, and I feel like I am one of them, you need to see results. It can't just be, bad luck and, you know, freak thing. The kicker gets hurt on chasing down a kick returner and blows out his hamstring. It can't just be that every week, excuses for the team. And then last night, Dallas may be better on paper. And if not for a couple of drops, at some point, those have to turn into wins if you really ultimately want to believe in Daboll. He's done a lot with what he's been given, BT, but record-wise, which is how they're judged ultimately, especially in year three, that's going to be the determining factor.
I know it's easier to do in the sport that I'm about to reference because one player just in terms of percentage usage rate, it's so different. Think about the way Leon Rose built the Knicks. And now think about the way Joe Shane's trying to build the Giants. Leon came in, didn't do a ton. And then, obviously, the pandemic year was kind of fun. We knew that wasn't going anywhere. That was just, all right, a competitive team, finally some playoffs. Trae Young abused us. But, hey, we're back in the playoffs, and here we go. We've got a good player who's young in Julius Randle. But everybody knew that ceiling was low. And then he eventually, after sitting idle for a long time, very methodically, got rid of bad contracts, maintained a ton of assets, and started bringing in stars, all right? It's not going to happen overnight. Now, again, it's easier in basketball if you can convince that one star to join you because he's going to monopolize the ball, and then Jalen Brunson shows up, and Jalen Brunson's a beast. It's not the same way in the NFL. We've got to give Shane time. And I think many of you are willing to do that. The problem is, the two first big swings he took, one is a complete stiff, and one is just too intermittently effective for my taste. In Neil and Kayvon Thibodeau.
Yeah.
And that's not good.
And not to mention Hyatt, who has a third-round pick, has done nothing when the Giants clearly could use another receiver. Yeah, Neighbors has been a stud, but anybody could have told you that with the 6th pick overall. And you give him credit for it, sure, but I don't even think that was a right decision because you needed a quarterback. So why then go take the wide receiver? But point is, missing on Neighbors, he knew he was not going to miss with that pick as far as the talent goes, and he needs to cash one of those top picks in. I don't think you give him a ton of credit. They're like, oh, well, he did find Malik Nabers. Well, I mean, most people
could trade it down.
Most people, yeah, but I've
done some other stuff.
But I also think that could have been the right move.
Yeah.
Like, my point is, he didn't miss on the talent of Nabers, and I don't think there was any risk in that. Did it mean that Nabers was automatically going to be the best wide receiver? No, but odds are he was not going to miss on that talent.
Oh, I think there was risk. I mean, it's not like, I mean, I know quarterbacks are going early, but there's five other teams that didn't take Nabers.
Right. Well, but they want a quarterback.
No, not everybody. There wasn't five quarterbacks taken before him.
And not all the three quarterbacks. Well, who were the players that were taken before him? There's only five players, right? So there was the three quarterbacks, top three. Who was taken fourth and fifth?
Alt went seven tackle to
Dunn.
I'm just going through it. Maybe Hoff, if you could pull that up, help us out. It definitely wasn't five quarterbacks. So it was Drake May. I'm kind of just bound. Drake May, three. Jaden Daniels, two. We know about Caleb Williams, one. Who picked four and five? I don't have that in front of me.
I forget. Whatever. Yeah. But the point is, I'm not going to give him. I'm not going to knock him for the selection at this particular point. But I'm also not going to give him a ton of credit. Be like, wow, he found Malik Nabers. Yeah, I mean, if you as a general manager can't get it right in the top 10, you've got major problems. And he's missed more than he's hit so far.
I get that. I understand what you're saying. I'm not going to operate in a world where when you whiff
Harrison went fourth.
That's right, Mark Harrison. But when you whiff on a top 10 pick, we crush you. And when you hit one, we're like, well, you're supposed to get it.
Yeah.
That can't work that way.
Well,
that's not fair.
But the I guess the way that I would put it is the knock on me was never picking that player. The knock was not taking a quarterback or trading up to get a quarterback or not trading down at that spot. They're just the way that you build a team. By the way, they've had Malik Nabers, right? All-time stud. Great. How have they done? What's their record?
But what would they be without him? I mean,
they
might have the same record.
Yeah,
but
yeah, they played four
would they
games,
advance
they
the football?
I mean, they barely do it now. Hey, they move the football. That's great. I want to get into more Dable, though, when we come back, because I have a specific question here that I want to ask you about.
Sal,
yes.
So you haven't used this word. Some callers have. You know, Dable coach scared.
Right.
You thought he was conservative.
Yes.
Okay. And I don't agree, but I want to ask you this question. If you believe he's coaching conservatively, do you believe that that could be tied in his own mind to his lack of stability in terms of job security?
No, I don't.
See, I do. And if that's the case, if Mara views Dable as really truly his guy, I think it would behoove the entire organization. We don't need to know about this, so maybe it's already happened. But you go to Dable. Hey, coach, you're my guy. I'm going to ride this with you beyond this year. Coach the way you need to coach.
Well, how do you know he hasn't already done that?
I don't. I'm just throwing it out there for discussion. I don't know that.
What would make you think, because I just don't see this, what would make you think that there's any question to his job security based on the way that they've played?
Well, first of all, I mean, he's been asked the question multiple times.
I know that, but I always thought it was a stupid question.
Well, it may have been an early question.
I called it a witch hunt. I just think it's unfair. People trying to go after Dable. By the way, where have those questions been? Were they there last night?
No, they weren't. They should have been there last night because they played a competitive game.
Oh, okay. And they weren't there after the win, of course, last week.
No,
but
they weren't there.
Even after the team starts 1-3, those questions still weren't there. If it truly were a coach who were in trouble, the losses piling up would still lead to those questions being there. I thought that those questions were unfair, way premature. I don't think they make any sense. There's been no signs whatsoever from the organization at all. Speculation outside, sure. Some people using some common sense or thinking, you know, down the road, sure. But there's been no indication from the organization at all that either of these guys, Shane or Dable, are on the hot seat.
Okay, so do you think, and forget about Dable for a sec, do you think that coaches ever at times allow what's being said about them to infiltrate the decisions they make?
Yes, I
do. So do I. So we're on the same page.
I think it's human nature at times, yes.
Yeah, I agree. Even things that we discuss on the show, like we go in and we're like, you know, whether it's a boss or whatever, not that they ever say do this or do that, but if we're made aware of something, there's a heightened awareness, and if we don't do it right, I think that we're aware of it, and we try to fix it and whatever.
I think the Yankees called up Dominguez because of the fans clamoring for him when they knew better. And they were proven right, but their mistake was listening to the fans. Like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
As much as we want to yell and scream and say, listen to us, listen to us. We do it. We're doing a show here. We're not literally telling them what to do. We're saying what we would do, what we think that they should do, but they shouldn't be listening to that. Fans could talk. We could have our opinions, but I wouldn't want any organization taking any fans' advice, as many fans as it may be. Like, that's foolish to me.
I agree with that, too. I think there's a lot of coaches out there, and the NFL more so, like, where... And forget about Dable for a moment. I'll circle back to him. They're on the hot seat, and you're at home. and it's fourth and whatever, and the fans are like, go for it, and you feel that, and the coach, it is, even if he doesn't really process it, you know, centrally on his mind, some part of him is saying, all right, let me throw these crazy animals, just a piece of meat to shut them up. I'm going to go for it. Get them on my side. Like, that,
yes,
that definitely
happens sometimes. Yes,
there's no doubt. So I don't know. But number one, I don't even think he coached conservative. I thought Dable was fine last night. But if he's really the guy, if he's really truly the guy, let him know now so he can coach aggressively.
Yeah, I don't think that he's thinking that at all, because I really don't. I think that that's outside speculation that has been created by some in the media. I don't think Dable's on the hot seat at all. And let me ask you this question about Dable. And I've already come to my conclusion on this, and I think it's a very simple question. Do you think he can coach?
Yes.
Okay. Me too. Like, it's very simple. You watch the game. You see what he's had to work with since he's been here. You see the game plan. You see how he coached in 2022 his limited team up to a postseason. Even last year, we referenced it, where the team was going off the rails, injuries galore. He coached them to some competitiveness and some wins, maybe to their detriment for not having a better pick, although it wouldn't have had neighbors, whatever. That's a different conversation. This year, even with a bad record, and it is a bad record, 1-3, he should be better, but you see how he coached in week two, week three, the game plan, even last night. Now, I can nitpick here or there with I would have been more aggressive on fourth and goal from the 3-yard line, but whatever. Point is, he knows how to coach. Moving the chains, shortening the game, maximizing his players' skill set, whatever that may be, minimizing the risk. Brian Dable can coach. That has been proven. Do I know that Joe Shane could build a roster? I don't know the answer to that. Do I know that Daniel Jones can be a quarterback to get them over the next, you know, hump? I don't believe that to be the case. We saw what he could do. I believe that he maxed out where he was with winning a road playoff game. Doesn't mean that maybe he can't extend on that, but I believe that Daniel Jones isn't that guy. I know with certainty Brian Dable can coach.
Well, so do I, which is why I've always said he's going to be a really good coach. I just hope it's here. And that's where you and I have disagreed a little bit. You know, the one thing that I've got to go back to, you make it seem like it's been created out of nowhere. Like, again, the questions were early. I totally agree with that. They were unfair, I thought. And they were very aggressive after week two. But there was acrimony in the building a year ago. And we can't ignore that.
No, acrimony is, well, and
acrimony,
Wink is not here.
Unrest, a little disarray, a little disjoint, whatever word you want to use and apply, it was there.
But when was it ever pointed to Brian Dable from the owner?
Well, let me ask you this. Why did Joe Shane have to go and see what was going on game day when he actually had to listen to the communication from his coach?
I don't think that that was the exact way. I think Shane described it, that he does that.
Well, of course he described it that way because he doesn't want to make it seem like he's burying his head coach.
Do you think Robert Saleh's on the hot seat this year?
Yeah, if he doesn't win, he's gone.
Now, why do you think that?
Because I think he stinks.
Yeah, no, we know he stinks, but why does everybody know, not only think, that if he does not win this year, he's gone?
I'm not sure what you're looking for, except that you got to prove that you can win.
The owner said it.
Oh, so you're going for that. Well, let me ask you this.
The owner said it. Like, this is no secret. This is not a made-up thing by Connor Hughes or Pat Leonard or you or I.
Yeah.
Like, it's a real thing.
I agree, but I also don't think it was a made-up thing about what they were saying about the Giants' house last year.
Right,
it's the same
thing. They never once said that Brian... Oh,
No, they didn't say he was on the hot seat.
Right.
No, he didn't. No, I'm not saying that. That's why I thought the questions were unfair.
Right.
But there was smoke all around the building.
Yes.
Kafka wanted out, obviously. Now, Wink has to absorb a lot of hit. I get that. And I don't want to always regurgitate this. This goes back to Mara's vote of confidence. I'm defending Dable today. I thought he coached well, and I like Brian. But to think that last year was smooth sailing for the Giants is lunacy. It was a mess.
But that's different than saying that he's on the hot seat. Like,
no, it's not. Because if you keep losing and you don't have things in order, that's the definition of a hot seat.
There's also,
whether the owner says it or not.
Well, there's also a difference between whether you would have him on the hot seat or they actually have him on the hot seat.
I agree with that.
Like, Saleh is actually on the hot seat.
I agree.
Mike McCarthy actually on the hot seat.
Jerry Jones never said that.
No, but...
So why is he on the hot seat?
Well, because
Jerry Jones never said that.
Because he was last year. It's not literally...
But he didn't say it, though. But I'm saying Jets ownership did.
Because
they put out an edict. You don't win, we're moving on.
Right.
Well, Dallas didn't do that. Why is he on the hot seat?
Mike McCarthy is reaching the end. Does he have a contract?
How do we know that? Nobody said anything.
Does he have a contract?
I don't know. I don't know his contract.
But look up Mike. I'm pretty sure he does not have a contract beyond this year, which is why this would be his last year. Also, they were building towards something that he hasn't gotten to. So you, just like you, thought Brian Cashman should be on the hot seat.
I've said that many times.
Was he?
He got an extension.
Well, So he wasn't on the hot seat.
Yeah,
so,
understood.
So we can have an opinion. I can have an opinion and say, this guy should be on the hot seat.
Of course.
Right, but that doesn't mean that he actually is. So
I agree with that. I just think that you ignore the fact that it was messy last year. Whether or not the hot seat's there.
Well, but those were the questions about, because you just asked me about, do I think Dable's coaching differently because he feels pressure to perform to keep his job? I don't think that that's real. I don't think that inside the building, while it was not perfect last year, I don't believe that there is any feeling whatsoever that Shane and Dable aren't the guys as we are in week four of year three. I don't believe that. Do I know that to be factual? No, but I haven't seen any evidence. I haven't heard from anybody whatsoever. And also using common sense, like with McCarthy, even if he is under contract moving forward, which I don't believe he is, this is his last year. Yeah, exactly. That's why there is loudly speculated that he was going to be fired last year, but everybody was wrong about that. They gave him another job, gave him another year. And if he doesn't win this year, because that team was building toward winning a Super Bowl, and he's fallen short year after year after year. This is year three, week four now. And the questions came from the reporters about his job security week two. Which I just thought were ridiculous.
I'm agreeing with you on that part.
Right.
No, I definitely agree with that. It's unfair.
And by the way, you're allowed to have your opinion. I could have my opinion on things. I'm just saying that I don't believe that Dable or Shane, whether we think they should or shouldn't be, are.
You don't think they actually are.
Correct.
So okay, fair enough.
Which means that it wouldn't impact any of their decisions.
Real fast. If they, just give me a yes or no here, even though it's a deeper than a yes or no. If they go 4-13 and Dable has a couple of testy press conferences, you don't see any chance he's gone?
I don't think that the Giants would make a change.
Okay. I think Belichick's in play at that point, but that's a deeper discussion if
we've
it actually goes down.
We've had that in there.
I don't think it's going away. See, if you, and this goes back to Mara, which is why I asked Sal the question I asked about whether or not he's coaching a little tentatively because he's coaching for his job. I don't know the answer. You're right. I could be wrong, whatever.
Same thing with me.
But if you believe, like, if I'm Mara and I believe that he's my guy, and he might, then come out and say it. You know why? A public validation, you know what that does? That disarms those stupid questions. That disarms the unfair tax in week two. Hey, coach, you coaching for your job? Well, you know, listen, I appreciate the question, Joe or Mike or Timmy or Susan or Ralphie or Melissa, whatever your name is. I appreciate the question, but you heard ownership last week, and that's not an issue. Bang, disarmed, we move on. So to me, if you do that, the public validation, if he's your guy, if he's really your guy, takes away all the negative stuff that's going to start popping up as the losses keep mounting.
Yeah, well, look at the way the Yankees handled it, though. And Cashman basically would just laugh this stuff off, even when talked about it. We didn't necessarily hear anything from Hal on that. We just, proof was in the pudding. Here's what I think is going to happen. The Giants will right the ship. They'll be okay, 6-7 wins this year, and then he's going to get an extension. I do believe that. Did they sign a 4-year deal or 5 years? Probably four.
I don't know.
Okay.
We'll
see how it plays out. Hey, look, I wouldn't be opposed to a vote of confidence. I don't even know if this situation necessarily warrants. Now, if it keeps going like this, if they're 1-8, then I could see needing a vote of confidence.
And if you don't get one, is that maybe a little foreshadow or a real look into the soul of ownership? I don't know.
But you know the old adage, you get that vote of confidence, that's the first step in. Yeah. And the next step is you getting kicked in the rear end. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. We'll get back to your calls when we come back. So I'm at the game last night. I'm walking to my seat and some guy's you hear a little, it's right behind me. And you hear he's talking to us. It's like, is that whatever?
A little murmuring is the star. And then
he works up the courage. And he's like, hey, are you on YouTube?
What?
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know. What would you say if somebody said to you, are you on YouTube? Yeah, exactly.
I'd probably say I'd probably say I'm not doing my main job good enough.
He goes, are you on now, a young kid? And it does go.
I understand that, and YouTube is obviously incredibly viable.
Yeah, so I'm like, I guess
technically,
His follow up, and his name was Mark. I was like, all right, I'll mention it. His follow up, are you friends with Tiki Barber?
Oh, jeez. I mean, can you feel any worse?
So, no, it was fine. At least he knew from something, but he's like, I knew I saw
I'd rather
video.
Not be known.
I was like, I'm not friends with Tiki Barber. I am co-workers with Tiki Barber. Friends, whatever.
I got you. I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
So he was a jock sniffer. He was sniffing Teague's jock is what you get after.
He's a big Giant fan.
Big young YouTube fan.
Younger
fantastic.
Guy, Mark. But that was the first time I ever got that one.
That's an odd one. I think I'd rather be ignored or think about that. Listen, you and I are the same way. And we went through this at City Field on Friday, even though, of course, on social media, you guys come, we lose. booze, whatever.
Yeah.
When you go somewhere, people are generally a lot different face-to-face.
They're great.
They were awesome. Had a really good time. And there was some really great feedback about the show and the passion of the show and how it's got an old-school feel and how, you know, we're a little nutty together and they love us together, whatever. So that's always enjoyable. And you know, I take time out for that because if you're going to take out time to listen to me and us, then I'm going to give you the respect that you deserve there, right? You and I are both that way.
Well, so I hope so. Yeah.
No, but not everybody's that way. I mean, some people just keep it moving. Hey, thanks. Can I take a picture?
Well, if you're doing
that,
it's come on.
Well, I mean, I don't do that. That's what I'm saying. Some people do.
I think the appeal of what we do is we are the fans.
Yeah.
Well, it's
a validation of our voice and the extension of and the weight of our voice. But my point is that I would rather be completely ignored than called, like, I don't know, Brian Tierney or are you still doing the show? Hey, I have gotten this a couple times. Right. Hey, man, I love you and Tiki together. Hey, it's been 2 years, buddy. Where you been? I understand. Like, you know, like, I don't know.
It's
get it right.
Right.
Or don't get it at all.
Right. But the way that we are fans, and obviously we do this so we're in it, not everybody's like that. Like some people are like, oh, yeah, I'll put it on for a few minutes or whatever. Like they know surface level stuff, which is fine. I've been called Carton before. I think I used to get you years ago. Now, not so much. Now it's more. Like, I got that maybe once. You know,
well, about
balls,
me?
Whatever it happens.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I'm like, no, it's all right. But even that, like, I don't care. Hey, if you know me whatsoever, it means at least somewhere along the line, you're watching something I did or listening to something I did.
Fair enough. I hear you.
Don't know the full name. All right, let's get back to the calls. 888-808-1019. Glenn is calling from Wappingers Falls. What's up, Glenn?
Hey, guys. What's going on? Love the show. Best show on fans.
Thank you.
That, buddy.
Listen, I'm 65 years old.
Giants on YouTube as well.
Oh, yeah, YouTube, right. I'm 65 years old. Giants are religion in my family, okay, going back to my uncles and whatever. But here's the deal. I believe, BT, I agree with you 100%. I think Dable is coaching because he's worried about his job. Sal, I agree with you 100% about the Giants, the skill set of Daniel Jones, all of that. But I will say this. The game I watched last night is the same game I've been watching for the last 10 years. You can't win kick and field goals. They can never get the ball in the end zone. You can interchange the coaches, the offensive line, the running backs. It doesn't matter. They don't know how to win. It's not a winning organization anymore. They have to. I don't think they have to blow it up, but I think they should really consider moving on from Dable. I really do consider
that is blowing it up. I mean, if you want to fire,
I don't know. Can they? I mean, go ahead. Well,
do you think, Glenn, what's the answer?
I've been watching the same game for the better part of 55 years, a couple of good runs.
It's not it's not the same game. And thank you for the call, Glenn. We do appreciate you listening and taking the time to call. It's not the same thing that you've been watching, certainly not in recent years. It's smarter football, more competitive football, at least from a head coach standpoint, than anything you saw prior to Brian Dable's arrival. The results are the same, unfortunately, but I can't sit here and say that it's the same thing. What's the answer? To me, the answer is get a better quarterback. That's where it starts for me. Draft, develop, go trade for and sign your franchise quarterback that could help take you to the next level. Then it would be cleaning up the other things, getting a better run-blocking offensive line, getting wide receivers who aren't going to have the dropsies. Giants have to be up there in tops the league. Now, I know they've played four games. People get under the way, but I think they were on a list of top 10 in drops, tied with a bunch of teams. They had five coming in last night.
Daniel Jones, actually, I have the stat here. Daniel Jones, right, is going into the game, and it only worsened last night because they had a couple of drops.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones right now has had 8-point-something% of his attempts dropped, which is number one in football.
Yeah, so the point is clean those things up. Like,
you think?
Those are things that right now is not the difference of getting to the postseason or not, but it's those little things will, over the long haul, add up to more wins and more legitimacy. Like, you can't play like that and expect to beat teams that are more talented than you are. Although, if you have more talent, chances are you're going to be catching more balls. So the Giants are on their way, but it is taking a long time and too long. Plus, they don't have the key piece, at least in my opinion, in place. I'm fine with that coach. You know, they don't have the quarterback.
Most of you aren't going to like what I'm about to say here, but it's a fact. The Giants are a wildly overrated franchise, period. I mean, that's why when the last caller said, I've been watching this for the better part of 55 years, I knew what he meant. You know, because, and not dysfunction. Now, there's been element, whether it was, you know, Ray Hanley getting booed out of the stadium or Joe Judge, who was in a disaster. I'm not talking about that, right? Or the Geno Eli, the benching of Eli. No, no. That's not what he meant. What he meant was, for the most part, you watch the Giants year in and year out, and they're pretty boring. I mean, outside of not to minimize four Super Bowl runs, and I don't mean back in the day at Yale or Yankee State. I'm talking about from the 70s, the decade that I was born, more times than not, the Giants stink. And, you know, that's just it. And they're kind of like, we put the Giants up there with the Yankees. No. They're not the Yankees.
Right, but there's a reason why we put them up there.
Because nobody else in this town meets the Yankees. That's why.
Oh, because
and nobody is even close, really.
Well, because they won two Super Bowls in recent memory, not to mention going back to, you know, 86 or 90. Like,
But think about that. Like, we look at the
champion.
Giants.
All right, but look at the champion in this
town. Are the Giants the Steelers? Are the Giants the 49ers? I mean, come on. Are the Giants the Ravens? No.
Well, I mean, do quick math. How
are the Giants the Patriots? I know they beat them. They beat them.
I asked this seriously. How many Super Bowls have the Steelers won since 1986?
Since 86, one or two.
Okay.
No, Ben's got two. I think maybe two or three.
Like, I don't know where the Giants are nationally.
But year in and year out, the Steelers always win games. Year in and year out, the Giants are five or six win teams.
But in New York, and that's what we care about here.
Yeah.
Who's been more successful over the last 40 years?
Than the Giants?
Yeah. I mean, the Yankees are obviously
the Yankees, but that doesn't mean that the Giants should be unfairly elevated to a stature that they don't deserve. Just because everybody else sucks doesn't mean the Giants are an incredible franchise. They're just not. And Giant fans know that. You've watched boring football for decades. Decades. Come on, man.
I mean, but they just are coming off a run. Like, this is the first quarterback that we've seen since Eli Manning.
Eli lost a lot of games.
Oh, understood, but Eli Manning also won two Super Bowls, so you take his entire career, that's a long span of 16 years, whatever it was.
I understand that, but we're even sitting here saying, like, you know, hey, if Eli didn't get that second Super Bowl, is he really a Hall of Famer? Now, of course he's a Hall of Famer. I don't want to get and digress and get into that. I don't mean that. All I'm saying is, I understand what that last call they're saying, because my entire life, I have watched the Jets and the Giants, and while I'm envious of the four Lombardi trophies, I have watched a lot of bad, boring Giants football.
There are four teams in NFL history that have more Super Bowl wins than the New York Giants.
I understand that.
One is the Patriots.
Patriots for sure. Steelers.
Who, by the way, the Giants beat twice.
I know.
Head-to-head.
I got you.
Steelers.
Packers.
No.
Packers
have the same
amount. Back to the AFL. Well, that's true.
I'm just going off Super Bowl wins here. Niners have five.
Yep.
Steelers and Patriots each have six.
Uh-huh.
The Cowboys have five. And when was the last time they saw a Super Bowl?
Dallas 96.
Okay. What I'm saying.
I didn't mention Dallas and those teams, by the way.
I'm just saying. And then the Packers have four. Giants have four.
Okay.
Chiefs have
four. But year to year, who's better? The Giants or the Ravens? Year to year, not a good year for the Ravens, but you know, year to year, who's better? Giants or the Steelers? Year to year, who's better? Even now, Giants or the Bills? Year to year, come on. Year to year, Chiefs, Giants.
But not only.
Year to year, Eagles, Giants.
The inconsistency year to year, sure, but all-time Super Bowls, they're there with all the teams. And in New York, they're as good as it gets outside the Yankees, who win all the time. And even they haven't won a World Series since 2009. So.
You know, I'm just saying it's a little more complex and a little more depth to that conversation. Like, the Giants are not some... Yeah, they conduct themselves with class and comport themselves with dignity, and that matters to me and us, and I respect that big time. And we always should. They're charitable. They're so entrenched in our area. They've done so many good things for good people. The Giants don't win that much.
You know who never won a Super Bowl?
Who?
Boomer Esiason. Catch Boomer and Geo live. It was just announced, and it's going to be happening at the Paramount in Huntington Village on Long Island Friday, November 22nd. Tickets went on sale to the public a couple hours ago. They're going fast, so get to Ticketmaster.com to get yours before they sell out.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be a good time, obviously. These guys let loose, and the one thing that they tell you all the time, no, it's always even laugh, I'll tell you later. These guys tell you it's a different kind of show. Boomer and Geo live is, listen, the morning show is fantastic, but you get these guys on stage slinging Lord knows what in terms of shots. Yeah. I mean, it gets loose up there. So We Give Thanks is what it's called. It's going to be a great night. Adam and the Metal Hawks will be out there rocking out as always. Come on down and hang out with the boys for what's going to be a fun night. It's at the Paramount in Huntington, Long Island. And get your tickets now. Ticketmaster.com. These things go fast. I know the pre-sale went like hotcakes. Ticketmaster.com. Brought to you in part by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. And of course, WFAN, your home for Boomer and Geo Morning 6-10.
One of my favorite stories, because I was at the live one at Huntington at the Paramount, the last one they did. Mm-hmm. I'm on stage trying to help Spike, who was our then boss, like clean things up. Boomer and Geo going nuts. It's in the middle of a show. Mm-hmm. And they have Mirage sitting there, dressed in a diaper. Ugh. He was about to be wheeled out and unveil like one of the finales as a baby or whatever. And now this Boomer was feeding him, like just dumping shots in his mouth the whole night. So Spike was a little annoyed, I think, at that, you know, he's like, Sean, come on, you got to be working here, even though it wasn't really work. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
But we're about to wheel him out, and Sean is like has a cigar in his mouth. And Spike is like, what the hell are you doing? I think he knocked it out. And Sean's like, what are you doing? It's a fake. It's a fake cigar. You told me I could do it. It wasn't even a real cigar, but Spike was so mad that he thought he was actually smoking a cigar on stage.
Spike though, lose a little control with this Boomer and Geo thing. Oh, my God.
Anyway, you never know what kind of moments are going to happen, so check it out. Ticketmaster.com, Boomer and Geo live.